Imagine being given instructions on how to complete a task. Now imagine these instructions are committed to stone. They don't change, ever. In other words, these are the standing operating procedures that you should follow. And now imagine that somebody tells you, out of the blue, that they don't want you to follow the standard operating procedures that you've been programmed to follow. They tell you that your instructions are wrong and you need to learn something new. Your code is now invalid. It is now wrong and needs to be patched. This is the basics for rebanding, but it gets so much worse than this. Before we talk about rebanding, we have to give you the lay of the land. Now, first of all, this is a problem in the United States. The RF spectrum is broken down into frequencies, and in that block of frequencies, there are smaller blocks. And these blocks are there to help people manage where the different frequencies are going to be assigned to the end user. In the 800 band, we see a lot of different kinds of users. We have public safety, we've got businesses, we have cellular phones, we have what they call SMR and ESMR services. And one of those services was Nextel. Nextel started out as a push-to-talk radio service, and they were huge in the mid to late 90s and even the early 2000s. And eventually, Nextel was gobbled up by Sprint, and then Sprint was gobbled up by T-Mobile. But no matter who owns them today, the damage was done a long time ago, and we are still basically paying for it today. So as we said, Nextel started off as just a push-to-talk company. They were an enhanced two-way radio communications type of solution for small businesses, and primarily businesses that did not want to set up their own radio systems or who did not want to lease radios from a bigger radio company. Basically, you can go into any cellular store, a Radio Shack, or anything like that, buy a Nextel radio, get service, and now your small business was able to communicate. Eventually, Nextel added cellular telephones on top of their existing push-to-talk cellular network. This was great. It gave users not only a single device that would allow them to use a fancy walkie-talkie to communicate, but also that same device would allow them now to make phone calls. The problem, though, developed because of where Nextel was in the RF landscape, what block they were on. You see, they were kind of sandwiched in between public safety and other radio users. And it's this positioning that caused problems with the public safety networks. As you said before, right, the 800 spectrum is broken down into smaller blocks. The original layout was from 851 to 854, we had a general category. From 854 to 861, we had interleaved spectrum, which was basically a general category and a spectrum made up of public safety, businesses, SMRs, and ESMRs. 861 to 866 is where you would find Nextel, and 866 to 869 is where you would find public safety. Nextel was positioned so that it was interleaved in with public safety and was also below the dedicated public safety band. So now, as we've established, Nextel was not a push-to-talk network anymore. It was a cellular company with push-to-talk abilities. And what had to happen is because of all of the headaches, and we'll talk about what those headaches were in a second, Nextel needed to be rehomed closer to their cellular brothers and sisters, such as AT&T, Verizon, and also at the time, Singular, just to name a few. So why is this a problem? Well, public safety networks and trunk radio systems, as we've talked about in the past, they are built high up, right, to give great coverage. They're on mountaintops, towers, tall buildings, right? They were made for a large coverage area. And a lot of their end users are in mobile radios, dispatching centers, or are using portable radios. Nextel, on the other hand, they were built for capacity. They had a lot of users on there that needed to have a good quality network. And again, they were only using push-to-talk radios or cellular phones, basically, right? So they were positioned on rooftops and were very dense, right? They had to build a network that could hold a lot of end users on it, different from a two-way radio company would. This would cause a problem with public safety because of how close the frequencies were in relative to each other, and the fact that the Nextel sites were closer to the ground, were denser, and a lot of times when a public safety radio would pass too close to a Nextel site, it would cause that radio to then overload on the front end. It would mute the radio, it would lose service. This became a huge problem for the public safety market that Nextel had to find a solution for, because they were responsible, being the fact that they were causing the interference. And the easiest way to fix this was to shuffle around the spectrum. And by doing this, public safety would move over on one side, and Nextel would move away from public safety closer to the cellular carriers. This basically means that public safety would go from 866 to 869 megahertz down to 851 to 854, and they would have exclusive rights in the band of 851 to 854. Business users would share 854 and 862 with SMR, and EMSR, such as Nextel, would move from 851 to 854 up to 862 to 869. This was great because it created an expansion band for public safety and also a guard band between Nextel and the other users on this spectrum. So now we've got this network that was never supposed to change. It was basically committed to code. And now all of a sudden, instead of the users being on one part of the spectrum, they were moved down on the other part of the spectrum. This is why we had a problem with rebanding when it was first rolling out. Many scanner radios became obsolete overnight. As soon as the radio admins rebanded that trunk radio service, boom, these scanner radios could no longer be used on these now rebanded systems. And before we explain in detail why this was a problem for many scanner radios, I just want to take a second here to thank all of my Patreon supporters. You see, this podcast episode that you might be watching on YouTube, what originally started off as an audio-only podcast, and we spent 6 years just on an audio platform. In 2024, though, we are moving everything over to YouTube, which allows me to bring this podcast to more of an audience. And the funding provided by my Patreon supporters that I am able to now build out a full YouTube studio, basically bringing video to my audio podcast. Now, Patreon supporters receive benefits for helping support the podcast, and that includes getting the podcast episodes early, as well as other benefits. If you'd like to help support the podcast and this channel and our growth through 2024, please help us out by going to scannerschool.com/Patreon. And if Patreon is something that you don't want to do, hey, just click subscribe on our YouTube channel, because only 20% of our viewers are actually subscribers. And by subscribing to this channel, you are helping us reach more of an audience, because YouTube will show our videos and our content to more people just like you.
Do you feel lost when it comes to the scanner hobby? Are you looking for someone to answer your questions? Do you have a new radio and you need help understanding how it works? Or are you working on a big project and need somebody to bounce ideas off of? Do you need a little bit more personal assistance than what you can get from an online community? And are you looking for somebody to dedicate their attention and their time to helping you out when it comes to getting you unstuck with whatever it is that you are struggling with when it comes to the scanner radio hobby? I'm here to do just that. See, you can book me for a session right now where I'll sit on Zoom and do a video or a screen share with you, just as if I am sitting across the table and helping you out. You can book your tutoring session right now by going to scannerschool.com/tutoring. I can't wait to help you out.
So again, why was rebanding a problem for many scanner radios? Well, you see, the Motorola protocol basically hard-coded the mapping or the layout of the system. Based off of a mathematical equation, your radio, your scanner, would know exactly where each channel belonged. It knew what frequency to go to. And this was set in standard. And by rebanding and remapping the existing frequencies or the new frequencies, the channel numbers have changed. Now, the good news here is that some systems These LCN systems that we talked about in a previous Scanner Radio University podcast episode, these LCN systems like EDACs and LTR, they weren't really immune to this problem, but they were easily fixed because, as we've described, LCN systems need us to put the frequencies into the scanner. We need to tell the scanner what belongs in channel 1, what belongs in channel 5, what belongs in channel 14. Well, when those frequencies change, all we have to do is load those new channels in place of the existing channels. So we just reprogrammed in channels 1 through whatever it was in logical channel numbering order, and rebanding worked on our scanners. It's when it came to the Motorola protocol that we actually had a problem. In radios monitoring those systems, if they couldn't do rebanding, that was the end of it. And that's because Motorola had a predefined band plan. It had a map. It knew based off of this frequency that I was in my control channel, it knew the steps, it knew where everything was, and boom, that's the way it was supposed to be. But when you take channel 440 and you move it from point A and it's now point B, we need to override the pre-written code with new instructions. Scanner radios that allowed for a firmware upgrade were new to the market, but they allowed the manufacturers such as Uniden, GRE, and then a byproduct, Radio Shack, to allow us to put rebanded systems in our scanner radios. Newer scanner radios, well, that's already built into the firmware, lucky for us. But not only do we have to upgrade the firmware in our scanners, but we had to now put new programming in. We had to put new mapping in, new planning in. So this was an extra step now when it came to programming our scanners, and it really became very confusing. So again, we had to put in all of the frequencies and we had to put in the new mapping. If you had software to help you out, such as Butel's ARC series of programming, it was as easy as loading in the new system, pushing a button saying that it was a rebanded system, and it would just send everything to the radio, just like magic. And to this day, this is why when you look at a Motorola Type 2 system or an EDAC system or an LTR system, right, in radio reference, you might see the giant banner on the top of the screen that says this is a rebanded system. Because we need to know, especially in the Motorola world, that we need to set this up as a rebanded system. And eventually these Motorola Type 2 systems, yeah, they're going to be phased out and most likely replaced by P25 systems. And luckily for us, P25 gives all that information over on the control channel as part of the standard. And rebanding will just be a thing of the past. But if you were in the scanner radio hobby about 20 years ago when all this was coming down, it was mass hysteria. It was crazy. It was confusing. I loved it because I'm the kind of guy that would just sit there and try and figure all this stuff out. But for a end user that just wanted their radio to work, this was a thing of nightmares. But we got through it and we made it. And again, it was just something where the scanner radio hobby evolved because the actual technology we were listening to evolved. And of course, this is completely different from splinter systems, which we'll probably talk about in another episode of this podcast. So again, if you like this podcast episode and you found it helpful, make sure you subscribe either on YouTube or in your favorite podcast platform. And again, this is our Scanner Radio University series. So make sure you subscribe so that you catch the next podcast in this video series.
Before we wrap up this week's podcast, I want to take a minute here to thank all of our Patreon supporters.
Alvin Zaz, Arthur Heron, Bill Kay, Bob Robs, Bob Middleton, Brandon Sammons, Brian Arsenal, Brian King, Chris Paris, Classic Hank, Craig Harper, Dan, Danielle Caviola, Dave Pasco, David, David C., David Kudneski, David Robertson, David Watts, Danny Crotty, Ed Walsh, Ed, K2EPM, Greg Johnson, I Hate Junk Mail, Jack Haycock, Jacques Berry, James Felling, Jay Reed, Jeff, Jeff Block, Jeff Chapman, Jeff Waldrop, Jenny Taylor, Jim B., Jim Heinrich, John Keel, John Sweeney, John Derby, John Goldenberg, Joshua Robb, KC5, DJT, Ken Newberry, Kenneth Fowler, Kevin Zwicky, Lenny Bauer, Les Stevenson, Lloyd R., Luke Hartnett, Mark Beebe, Mason Kramer, Matt, NU8H, Michael Kroger, Michael Meadows, Michael Thomas, Mike Lopez, KN6, FXR, Mike Piltz, Nicholas Stenger, Paul Bowling, Paul Thiel, Randy Young, Raymond Hill, Rich Palmieri, Ronnie Bach, Scott Lefgren, Stephen Falcon, Thomas Giampino, Todd Glendie, BA7ZZT, and William Arcand, W1WRA.
Find out more about Patreon and our support tiers by visiting scannerschool.com/Patreon. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you again next week. 73.